Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here on this Saturday morning.
Early morning.
Fun weekend of sports, though. We got the NBA playoffs going on, the NFL draft, a whole lot of Azerbaijan Formula One.
There you go. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that track. That was kind of impressive. I mean, I needed Elliot to explain to me where the hell it was, but it was impressive. I loved it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I got McHale's on that one as well.
We saw the Warriors go down last night.
They did.
Here's all I want to know. I know there's going to be a game seven. Mm-hmm. Is Scott Foster going to be in Sacramento on Sunday? Is it Sunday or
Sunday? Tomorrow afternoon.
If Scott Foster's there, that to me, the league has a problem. If they send Scott Foster to do this game to let those poor Kings fan reminisce about the Lakers series that was, you can listen to the Whistleblower podcast to know what I'm talking about.
Or just go watch those games on YouTube.
Or just watch them on YouTube and try to explain some of the fouls that were called. I mean, I would say the betting market, I know the Warriors are favorite, but I lean the Warriors. If Foster shows up somehow, some way.
So Scott Foster has yet to officiate. He hasn't officiated a game since the 25th. So I believe he is eligible to potentially officiate tomorrow's game.
This is bad.
Make do of that information.
This is bad, 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 bad.
I think we'll find out later this afternoon or evening who's officiating that game. But just keep your head on a swivel with that one.
Yeah. Game 7 tomorrow. Be careful betting the Kings if you see Scott Foster's name show up. What an impressive win by the Kings last night.
Really
resilient, mental toughness. Their two best players, Monk and Fox, really shined.
Yeah.
You know, and they took it to the Warriors on their own court. I mean, look, the Warriors have been a bad road team all year. They finally get a road win. You think they're coming home to clinch it, and they can't do it. And probably the most convincing win of the series, right?
Yeah. No, it was a really dominant win for the Sacramento Kings. Before let's table that for right now, though. I want to tee up who we have coming up here on the show over these next 2 hours. Make sure to tweet at us at VSiN Live on Twitter, at M Lombardi NFLs, where you can find Michael, at Femi Abebefe, where you can find me. Three great guests on the program this morning, starting at 7:30, 30 minutes from now, 10:30 Eastern. Jason Lockenfora, host of Inside Access at 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore and NFL reporter for The Washington Post, will join us to talk all things NFL, including the newly minted extension for one Lamar Jackson with the Baltimore Ravens. Then Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl Executive Director, will join us in 45 minutes as he gives his thoughts on the NFL draft. And then at 8:30 West Coast time, 11:30 Eastern, our buddy Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata, will help us break
Joel Embiid update.
We will get a Joel Embiid update. I want to see, we're talking about it before the show started, where's that line going to go? Embiid playing versus Embiid out? Because I think we're kind of hanging out in between right now with the betting market sort of anticipating he's not going to play in game one, but not quite
sure.
7.5,
pretty steep if he's playing. I mean, I would think that, you know, look, the Celtics haven't been exactly, you know, the dominating team that we thought they might be. And, you know, this seems to me the betting market, the house seems to think Embiid isn't going to play. That's just, to me, they set that number. And if it starts to adjust downward, then we know he's playing.
Mm-hmm. You start to see that the inclination being that he's going to play. But we'll see. Game one is Monday. But let's talk about what we saw last night. You mentioned the Sacramento Kings. They get the win against the Golden State Warriors, 118-99. The Kings were 7.5-point dogs. Like, the betting market had no faith in these guys. I was one of them. I mean, I didn't bet the game, but just from looking at it, I was like, all right, I think this is Warriors and six.
It's one of those where it looks too obvious, right? You know, the Warriors finally break through and get the road win. A tough road win, but they got it. And so now they're coming home, and that line seemed to adjust to the perception that this has been a fairly close series. I mean, look, the Kings are, what, one possession away from maybe turning this around? The same thing with the Warriors. I mean, this has been a very even series back and forth. You could take two or three plays out of every single win for the team and every single loss and kind of flip the game. So I was surprised. That's a big line. But look, you know, when your back's against the wall, you come out fighting. And I get to give the Mike Brown, the coaching staff, and the players a ton of credit for, I mean, they started the game well. They didn't buckle. And they finished out. And they, you know, they had the 10-point lead and make a run. And then they just extended it out with the threes late in the game. So give them credit.
Did it look like the Warriors were almost gassed. And I don't want to just blame this all on fatigue, but when you have Steph Curry missing three free throws in a game, like, that never happens.
Yeah, I know.
But, like, this is a 90% free throw shooter. He goes 6 of 9 from the line. They just looked a step slower than Sacramento, who obviously was playing with more urgency.
Yeah, well, I mean, but why wouldn't the Warriors have urgency? I mean, they can lock this off and get themselves. They got to get to the next round. I mean, the Suns are awaiting. I mean, the Suns are now resting. And,
oh, no, the Lakers, sorry.
Excuse me, the Lakers are waiting. So, you know, I mean, we know the Lakers, after they saw this, they get them buy themselves some time. They need the rest. Mm-hmm. And I think that motivated them to come out and just to dominate the Grizz.
Yeah, the Lakers just absolutely ran over the Memphis Grizzlies. The once Memphis Grizzlies who proclaimed that they were fine in the Western Conference, it appears they were not fine in the Western Conference. They get beat 125-85. Lakers win the series in 6 games. Lakers were a short underdog on the series price before the playoffs tipped off here, but this was just a runaway train. Runaway train from the start there. Lakers couldn't miss a shot.
I mean, both games, the spread didn't matter, right?
No,
just pick the winner.
Yeah.
Just pick the winner.
Yeah, this was a game where the Lakers, I believe they shot from three-point range. I'm looking at it right now. They shot only 34% there, but from the field, 53%. As a team, you had D'Angelo Russell, 31 points, 12 of 17. LeBron had a pretty solid game, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Anthony Davis, once again, dominant on the boards and protecting the rim there. 5 blocks from Anthony Davis. When he's healthy, he's one of the best defensive players in all of the NBA. But spinning it forward now for the Lakers, because we were talking about this with our producer, Elliot Bowman, and he said that, hey, like, this is a team that could be very dangerous. Maybe they go on that kind of run that they had in the bubble a couple years ago when they won the title. I'm still a little apprehensive on the Lakers because their two best players are prone to injury given their statuses now in their career and where they're at. But when they play their games, man, they're a really good team.
They are. And you know, they're a good defensive team too, which is what you're going to have to do to beat the if you got to play the Kings or if you got to play the Warriors. So, I mean, you can't rule them out. I mean, look at the betting market's not ruling them out. They're a favorite to get to the West. It, you know, can I think they could beat the Nuggets or the Lakers or the Suns? No. But, you know, if like you said, if they can stay healthy. I mean, one thing about the NBA this season, more than ever, it's wide open. I mean, the East is wide open. I mean, look, Miami's an 8th seed. And they've lost Tyler Hero. Mm-hmm. They've lost Victor
Oladipo.
So they've lost 2 key players off their team, and they're still there. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that they're in this where they are. And the same thing with the West, same thing. I mean, there's really – I think the Suns should be the best team. I don't know if they are.
Phoenix, I'm still a little kind of not there yet because they didn't play that many games together.
Well, they are now. I mean, they started to come together. I mean, that third quarter against the Clippers. Now, look, I know the Clippers, again, were undermanned. I mean, this is what we're talking about.
It's the story of the LA Clippers.
It is the story of the LA Clippers. It's a great design. The production's horrible. We got a great design of the team. But the production's bad, you know. The car doesn't run, you know. So there's always a problem with that team. And I think, to me, the Suns – I mean, I think the Suns could only get better.
No, I believe they can only get better, but do they have enough time to get better? Now they're facing the number one seed Denver Nuggets tonight. And right now that series price, Phoenix, I believe, is minus 120 at some shops, Nuggets even money. So Denver, the one seed, the best team in the Western Conference throughout the regular season – not really getting the respect that they should be getting, or typically a one seed would get in this spot. They do have the 2-time reigning MVP in Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray is healthy. Michael Porter Jr. also healthy as well. Denver, though, getting bet in this spot here with the altitude and knowing that those Phoenix guys have played a lot of minutes in this playoffs right now, 3.5-point favorites, 226.5 here. Do you think Denver makes that statement in game number one?
I mean, I think, to me, with Booker and –
Booker looks awesome.
I mean, he looks so good.
He looks awesome.
And you got Durant. And, you know, I mean, they have the elements to do it. I really do. I like the Suns in the series. I do. I mean, but to me, if you're a Nugget fan and you've had the MVP for 2 years in a row, this is your series. You got to win this thing. It's a little bit like Philadelphia. It's wide open for Philly right now in the East.
100%.
There's no excuses for you. I mean, obviously, your big guy's hurt. But this is a wide open. You don't have to go through Milwaukee. If you can get through Boston, you know, you're going to play either New York or Miami, 2 teams that you have handled during the regular season. Now, Miami would be a struggle for them because Butler would will himself to beat them for resenting, you know, Butler resents the fact that they picked Tobias Harris over him. I do too. I'm with Butler in that camp.
I mean, a lot of Philly fans are in that camp.
Yeah, I'm not happy about that either. We took Ben Simmons and Tobias over Jimmy, but not, you know, we're not bitter, but we'll move forward. But it's wide open. Don't you think it's just wide open for him?
Yeah, I think it's really wide open in that Eastern Conference because Boston, who I felt really good about, looked shaky against Atlanta.
And defensively is what concerned me, and the coaching adjustments concern you.
Yeah.
You know, I think to me, that's where you were a little bit like, oh, my God, there's some vulnerability here with Boston. You know, they're a good team. They give Philly problems. Hartford makes, you know, it harder for Embiid to do what he wants to do. They're defensively against Philly. They're usually pretty well. You know, we know this. Harden's not been able to finish at the rim. So they'll have to tighten him on the three. You know, you got to play Harden from the 3-point out. Not worried about him because he gets to the rim, he doesn't finish. But this has been Philly has had a hard time playing Boston. Although I was told reliably that Philly wanted to play, they felt like they matched up better against Boston than Milwaukee. So they were more inclined to want to play Boston. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe they're confident. I mean, we did see James Harden during the days off. I don't know if you saw that on social media. He was hanging out here in Vegas.
Was he really?
Like, yeah.
Of course.
So like he was here in Vegas.
Did he think he went to the Mob Museum? I'd have taken him on a tour. I'd love to take him on a tour of that.
It appears he did get into an altercation. So,
did he? Yeah. What club was he at?
I don't know if he was at a club, but it was some TMZ video that he smacked somebody in the face here in Vegas. I don't think it was like a punch. I think it might have been like a mush, but who knows where James Harden was. But he was spending a couple days in Vegas during the days off.
Why not? You know? If not now, when? Hopefully he went to Barry's Steakhouse. Hopefully he went to the Mob Museum. Hopefully he had dinner with Oscar Good. Hopefully he did everything I did.
Yeah, hopefully he has his head on straight for game one coming up on Monday against the Boston Celtics. We'll talk some NFL draft on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes and all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. Coming up in 15 minutes, Jason Lockenfora, host of Inside Access at 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore and also reporter for the Washington Post will join us to talk all things NFL draft, including the five-year contract for one Lamar Jackson between him and the Baltimore Ravens. But
and
Michael,
and the A that the Ravens will get for their draft, they'll talk about that too.
Yeah, we'll talk about the A that the Ravens will get. Zay Flowers, we're getting the gold jacket fitted. And I think he's probably like, what, a 40? He's not a 44. He's a little slider guy. We'll get that situated, though, for Zay Flowers coming up later. Let's start talking about this draft, though, because day two concluded yesterday. The day began with a lot of the discussion about these quarterbacks because we only saw three quarterbacks go day number one, three of them in the top four. None of them went afterwards, so that prop for 4.5 quarterbacks, that went ahead and cashed the under easily. But then early on, and we were talking about this just during the break, about how this time last week, Will Levis, the Kentucky quarterback, was the odds-on favorite to go second overall in the draft.
There was a sprinkle of money for him to go one.
To go number one.
You know, so
he ends up going second overall on day two.
He ends up going second overall. Tennessee makes the move to get him. You know, they move up to get him, and Arizona makes another trade to get more draft capital, which is incredible. They've done a good job of collecting draft capital. In a draft for next season, which this draft we know, by the middle of the second round, in this draft, I think in talking to most teams, is their boards were a round and a half behind. Meaning if you had a guy in the fifth, you probably were going to need to take him somewhere in the third because the draft had kind of taken away a lot of the board. And sometimes you just have to make that adjustment. It's just what it is. You just because if you wait for the guy to be there when it comes time to – you don't have anybody to pick. You can't pass, right? So you got to adjust your board out. And I think that – the Cardinals have done a nice job of collecting picks for next season when maybe this will have more depth and more lineage to it. We saw the depth in the draft kind of slip once Detroit took Laporta from Iowa. at the tight end position. But really, it started with Kincaid in the first, and then it went to Laporta in the at the top of the second, and then the Raiders come with Mayer to trade up to get him. And, you know, we saw then the run on the tight ends.
Yeah, there was a tight end. Five tight ends were selected in round number two. A number of teams were targeting those guys, and if you didn't get one in round two, I mean, maybe there's some guys that are still left out there for day three. There's always contributors from day three of the draft, but I think the guys that everybody was really talking about was in the second,
third round.
I think
this is what's something, you know, and look, I think when you look at it, Laporta was an interesting, because he's more of an F than he is a true Y for Detroit. And, you know, but he's got ability to block the edge. He can, I don't know if he can block a seven technique. The Mayer pick to me is the interesting one, because when you watch him in 21, he was a better player. I think his weight was up too high in 22. He didn't have that elite quickness. They've got to straighten some things out. He's got the ability to be a good on the line at the end of the line, Y, which means he can block, which means he'll help Josh Jacobs, something that the Raiders need with Fabian Moreau because of his health injury, not being able to come back and play this season. So, you know, and Mayer is one of those kids that he is one of, like Garoppolo, he has this ability to impact a team. You talk to any of the people at Notre Dame, and they'll tell you what a great kid he is, you know, what a leader he is, what he does for the program. You know, they can't echo enough kind things about him. And to me, watching him on television, I really loved him. But then the tape this year wasn't good, so they've got to get him back to the 21 season.
You know, the Green Bay Packers, they took not one but two tight ends.
Yeah,
in the draft yesterday.
I mean, Big Daddy
was
didn't have a Big Dad. Well, he was too busy part. He had, you know, Friday night's his night out. You know, he goes out, he canvasses the neighborhoods, okay, and he goes
out. Ripping it up out.
So
there?
I had to give him the picks. And of course, he was telling me who Goot was going to pick, and I kept telling him no, he's picked the tight end. And like, he was floored. You know, he's always thinks he's going to pick a safety or a corner. That's been the modus operandi there. And then, of course, naturally, can you imagine they're picking all these skilled players because and Rodgers isn't there, you know, trying to make the love train happy. But look, it's the same thing. I mean, they need offensive weaponry. I just think, to me, these picks for Green Bay may be really good, and they're good players. It's just there's a lot of young players on Green Bay's team, a lot of young players. Dobbs, you know,
Watson,
you know, I mean, Aaron Jones and is one of the older players on the team when you break it down.
He's not
right?
that old.
And he's not that old. So this is – and the offensive line isn't old, but this is going to be one of those teams where, you know, Dylan. I mean, they're still a really young team. It's going to take some time to come together. Mm-hmm. We're going to see what really LaFleur can bring to this team as a coach and how he develops this team through the season, because they may not start well, but they could get better by the end of the year as these young players start to get more play time.
Yeah, it could be a work in progress for the Green Bay Packers. The two tight ends they'd selected in the second round, they drafted Luke Musgrave out of Oregon State. And then in the third round, they went ahead and took Tucker Kraft out of South Dakota State. So a couple of tight ends, as we've discussed how Brian Gutekunst, his job is tied to the success of Jordan Love. So they have to make this thing work. They're giving Love as many pass catchers and weapons as possible to help him develop.
Yeah, and they've got to be able to develop the quarterback in the right system, because what now has happened to Green Bay is what happened to New England when Brady left. You can't run the system that Rodgers runs, where he can do all the things at the line of scrimmage and check and reroute protections, and you're going to have to really kind of scale this way back. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be on LaFleur to do that. And how good are they on defense? We'll find out.
Well, how about the development for Will Levis, who we began this discussion talking about? Because he was picked 33rd overall. Titans trade up for him. And Mike Vrabel came out and said after the day two of the draft that, hey, Ryan Tannehill's still quarterback one. Malik Willis is still quarterback two. Will Levis will be the third string quarterback. That's where it sets right now. And I'll let those guys figure it out after that.
I mean, that's Vrabel. I mean, he comes from New England's program. He's not giving away any jobs. I thought the Bryce Young commentary was exactly what it is. Being number one doesn't provide me with anything other than I've got to go compete. Same thing with Lil Levis. Just because they traded up to get you doesn't mean you don't have to compete. I mean, it should be fairly obvious if Will Levis – look, I mean, here's this picture. He doesn't even have the laces on his hand. If this – there's another picture without laces on his hand. It's amazing. This is one of those where – you've got to prove instantly that you are the guy. Can you handle it? I mean, he's if he can't beat out Malik Willis for the second job, then something's really wrong. So we saw Malik Willis. I mean, he's one of the few, and I hate to pick on the kid, but I've never seen a quarterback get benched in the middle of a series in a preseason game because he was affecting everybody else. So, like, he's got to go out there. And look, we know this. Joshua Dobbs got signed at the end of the year to let them try to compete for a playoff spot because they couldn't put Willis out there. Now, if he can't beat Willis out, then he's got problems. So I think it's the best thing he could say. Let him go compete and see what he can do. The thing you want to do is, and I keep saying this, you want to draft guys that are talented that think they're underachievers, that think they're overachievers, that guys that have to do it. We're going to find out how bad he wants this, you know. And look, he got slapped in the face a little bit. He didn't get picked in the first round. So, you know, Brady used that sixth round selection
as
fueled his career. You know, it's fueled his career. And so instead of looking at it as a negative, take it as a positive. Look, people pass me, I'm going to prove them wrong.
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday on the drive home after we did the show. And then I was talking to my brother a little bit later on in the afternoon. We always kind of talk football stuff. And he actually brought up the point to me. He said that this might be the best thing for Will Levis, that this might have saved his career.
Humbled him.
It might, because if he goes in the first round, let's say he goes top five where everybody mocked him and projected him, if he had to start right away and has that kind of pressure on him, now he can kind of develop along, doesn't have the pressure of the first-round pick. And we know that some guys are not ready-made to play immediately. Some guys take a little bit of time, and that's fine. You know, we're not all finished products. If he can go out there and develop and actually play and play when he's ready, that might launch actually a pretty solid career for Will Levis.
It really could. You know, I think that's a great point. I mean, look, none of these kids are ready to play right away, with the exception of maybe Bryce Young. I mean, C.J. Stroud has spent a career looking at Ryan Day on the sideline. That ain't happening anymore. He's got to hear the play, call the play, make sure the left tackle knows I need more time on this. The right tackle, make sure you got the B gap cleared away. We're going to slide. You know, he's got to coach everybody on the team. That's why it's so hard. Saturday's game and Sunday's game are completely different. It is worlds apart.
I want to talk more about Hendon Hooker coming up a little bit later on in hour number two, but just kind of your thoughts on him going 68 overall to
Detroit. I think that's a great pick for Detroit. I think they needed to recognize that Goff isn't always going to be the great. I mean, we could see a regression for Goff, especially if he starts to get hit. So I think they get a quarterback with a year to develop him. I love the pick. I think it's a great pick. I think Detroit had a couple good picks in the third round. I love the kid they took out of Western Kentucky, Martin, in the third round. Big defensive tackle, 6'5", 335, huge, huge hands. And they got a big guy in there in the third round. I love that pick. And I think the Hooker pick in the third is a great pick.
Yeah. So maybe after day one, Detroit got back on track in day number two
in
the NFL draft. Jason Lockenfora joins us next to break down the NFL draft and Lamar's big extension down in Baltimore.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports? Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for just $9.99 and get access to everything we do, including our upcoming Kentucky Derby betting guide. We have profiles on the horses, jockeys, and trainers, so you know which horses are the favorites, the sleepers, and the long shots. Plus, best bets from Dave Tooley and other VSiN experts to help you make the most out of your Kentucky Derby bets. This offer won't last long, so subscribe today for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. He is Michael Lombardi. I'm Femi Abebefe. Well, Michael, our next guest is actually in the land of where Pimlico is, the Preakness race along the Triple Crown here. He's the host at Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, and NFL reporter for the Washington Post, the one, the only, Jason Lockenfora, joining us now here on the Lombardi Line this morning. Jason, we appreciate you taking the time this morning here. And let's start, before we get into the NFL draft, the news that we saw Thursday afternoon, Lamar Jackson signing the 5-year, $260 million contract with the Baltimore Ravens. In your opinion, outside of the money, what was the biggest contributing factor to these two sides bridging the gap?
First, let me say hi, ho, Pimlico. Preakness. Not quite as fun as it used to be when it was literally, it was almost like an anarchy zone, like anything really in that infield for about 30 years. It was kind of the land of lawlessness. Look, the Lamar thing, what happened? It's money. It's always money. I mean, look, if the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts didn't make it an absolute priority to get that deal done by the start of their offseason program. You know, and if they weren't worried about it and said, you know, hey, let's just get it done before training camp, then Lamar Jackson is still not returning text and phone calls, you know what I mean? And the Ravens are still pouting. And it's still, a cold war in the media. And, you know, everything that's happened the last 2 years happened. It's reality. There's a lot of revisionist history going around now, like, oh, yeah, there was never anything to see here. Like, literally a month ago, Lamar Jackson got almost, actually to the day they got the deal done, went on his social media and said, I love you, Baltimore, but I got to go. I'll never get my bag here. I got to go somewhere where they'll pay me what I'm worth. Mm. Yeah. So, like, this is monumental. They are one franchise with him and a different one without him. And I don't know that any transaction that happened anywhere in the NFL this entire offseason could have the significance of this. You know, because you go from QB purgatory to, like, damn, is he going to be on a tag again next year? And how can we build our team in the short term and the long term? Because we don't know who our quarterback's going to be, and do we need to draft one? And you know what I mean? Do we need to try to develop Tyler Huntley? Like, all that stuff is evaporated, and you've got 5 years of cost certainty with a player who you win three of every four games with when he plays, and you lose basically three of every four games when he doesn't play. So it's huge. It's franchise-defining. I got an 11-year-old kid, you know what I mean, who were eating breakfast the other day, and he's holding up his five fingers. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, the Orioles didn't win by five last night. He's like, no, Dad, we got Lamar for five more years. Like, I mean, you can't – like, that's awesome stuff. So, and this town needs him. But, yeah, if Jalen Hurts isn't done and they don't have that template to work off of, I think they're still in the abyss.
So, using the Hurts template, Hurts' deal is interesting because his cap deal is very – it's very friendly – for the first 3 years of the deal, the option bonuses, that all that, it doesn't really spike until year four and five. Baltimore has $32 million allotted to Lamar right now that was guaranteed if once he signed it. How do you think this deal will play out structure-wise for their cap? Because let's face it, they have been, the way they did the Beckham deal was because they're so tight with the cap. How did they handle this cap-wise?
Well, look, I have not seen the full details. To your point about Jalen Hurts, the NFLPA was not doing cartwheels over that contract. They read that contract and were like, man, that's going to make it tougher for Lamar to get what, you know what I mean, what he was holding out for. I should say holding out's not the right term, but like what he was asking for. Look, whatever it is, Mike, it's going to be a massive improvement over their cap situation right now where, again, they had a quarterback who was going to count about $33 million against it. Now, they finally are out of the dark ages. On my radio show 3 years ago when we started, we were begging them, like, hey, if you're really trying to win a Super Bowl, you might want to think about voidable years. It helps teams go way cash over the cap, if that's actually what your owner wants to do. So they finally got with the times there. But the reality is they carried Lamar at, like, $25 million last year in the fifth-year option against the cap, and they were, you know, pissing and moaning about that. It would have been even more now, and whether they save 10 or whether they save 15, it's a big deal because they don't have any corners right now, and that's usually a position they prize above all else. So, you know, whether it's Rakia Sin or Marcus Peters or both of them, they're going to have to go down that road. I know they want to bring Justin Houston back, so there's going to be some inherent flexibility from whatever the relief is. Again, 10, 12, 15 million, whatever it is when the devils and the details come out this coming week, it's going to be a big boon for them.
Yeah, what Jason said, so we can explain this, the Odell Beckham contract, everybody says it's a one-year deal. It is. But what happens if he doesn't play, when he leaves after this 1 year, he leaves $11 million away from next year's cap. Mm. That just gets deducted immediately. So it's a one-year deal, but for cap purposes, he only counts at $3 million against the cap this year. So that's how these voidable years, and that's where Tampa got in a lot of trouble. The Rams got in huge trouble with it. Philly is going to eventually get in some trouble, mm-hmm. but they have so many draft picks they can kind of navigate their way through it. But that's what Jason's talking about in terms of these voidable years. And when you go cash over cap, at some point you have to go cash under cap to balance yourself out.
Yeah, the bill is always due. We're speaking with Jason Locken for a host.
But all those teams had long playoff runs. The Ravens
exactly.
haven't had a long
no,
playoff
you're right.
run in a decade.
They went all in, Jason. They went all in. And so let's just continue down this Raven track. We know they're getting an A for the draft. If they pass on every pick, they would get an A for the draft. So
baking the cake.
this, you can book it. Book it right now. They got an A for the draft. So tell me about, I have a, look, I'm not saying Zay Flowers is a good player. But for me, Lamar needs big receivers, yards after the catch. They've been down this little receiver road with Hollywood Brown and Lamar.
Yeah.
Tell me how this works.
I'm a skeptic on this. I thought they would have taken Deontay Banks. They're now whispering, you know, this, that, and the other about, oh, we never really liked him as much as you guys thought we did. Maybe true. They miss on a lot of talent right under their nose at College Park, Maryland, though. That's a fact. I'm surprised. Like, they have a model. They have a – like, there's clearly their – algorithms, right? Their supercomputers keep spitting out this a body type that there's a lot of risk in it. And do I think this kid is much more of a heart of the lion than Hollywood Brown? Yes. They were selling Hollywood Brown as DeSean Jackson. They're selling this kid as Steve Smith. Like, maybe he gets there, but their track record of missing at this position and missing, like, by a mile gives me some pause. And they do a really good job of evaluating defensive backs, and they want to live in nickel and dime all the time. And they've only got one corner worth a damn right now on their roster in Marlon Humphrey. So I get the sense that Eric DaCosta, like, he takes a lot of stuff personally. You can hear it when he talks to the media. He wants to be the guy who finally drafts an impact wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. There's no flip side to that. That's a reality. He said it numerous times. I'm going to keep swinging and missing. You've got to have receivers. They're best when they're young and cheap, and you break them in, and you guys say I keep missing, but it's not going to prevent me from swinging. I'm with you, Mike. I'd say why don't you swing at somebody with a bigger strike zone just for bleeps and giggles and see what that looks like instead of swinging at 5'8 and 5'9 guys.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if they would follow the 49er model or even the Philadelphia – I mean, A.J. Brown is the perfect receiver for Hurts.
Yes.
Hurts and Lamar are similar. They want to throw the ball in the middle of the field. Lamar does not throw nine routes, Femi, very well. He doesn't. He's a better over-route thrower, middle-of-the-field post-thrower. And sometimes when you have these little guys, and somebody compared this guy to Tyreek Hill, which I just think is bizarre. But anyway, that's okay. You can't see him, and it's hard for the quarterback to get the ball to him.
Well, let me ask Jason this. I mean, we talked about how Odell Beckham has now come here to Baltimore to help out Lamar Jackson. Are they done? Do they go down the DeAndre Hopkins road here to add to that wide receiver group?
I think they were selling the DeAndre Hopkins thing to get people onto that and not to think they were as heavily into the wide receiver market in the draft as they were. I mean, that's my take on that. Like, they wanted that Hopkins stuff out there. They were fanning those flames. And I think it's kind of what they tend to do this time of year. They try to get people on one scent because they think it behooves them in a different market. Related to the year that they drafted Rashad Bateman, they were screaming to anybody who would listen, we don't love this receiver class, and we especially don't like Rashad Bateman. They took Rashad Bateman. Now, he hasn't played a whole lot of football since they took him. So, you could make the case for it, even with what they've done, because, as we all know, Odell Beckham started exactly 20 games the last 3 years, and Rashad Bateman has missed more time in the NFL than he's actually participated in or been impactful. I love the skill set, but I'm not sure about durability, and things got ugly between him and the team last year over his injury. So I guess I'm saying I wouldn't rule it out, but it would surprise me because I think that cap savings that we talked about with Lamar, it's got to be earmarked for the defense. Because, again, you look at their group of edge rushers, there's not proven commodities, and they don't have any corners.
He is Jason Lockenford. Check him out on host of Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, also an NFL reporter for the Washington Post. Great stuff, Jason. Hopefully you talk soon.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, man.
Always, brother.
All right. Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl Executive Director, joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the authorized gaming partner of the NBA, hits the court with a special playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get a bonus bet up to $25 if you miss one leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to to get back a $25 bonus bet if one leg in your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas, recapping all things NFL draft. 2 days down, one to go, and it's about to get underway here in a little over an hour. And to help us break down this weekend's action in the NFL draft, we bring in the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, the one, the only, Jim Nagy, joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Jim, we appreciate you taking the time out of this morning. Obviously, a busy weekend for you guys. And I want to kind of start with a two-part question for you, because we all have our opinions on these players and what these teams have done. But from a process standpoint, which team's draft has made the most sense to you, and which one has been the most puzzling?
Oh, man, I will say I like what Philly's done. I really do. You know, they moved up one spot to get the guy they wanted, Jalen Carter, in the first round. And then they've kind of just stuck to their guns and taken good football players. You know, Nolan Smith at 30, he was our top-rated defensive player over the summer here at the Senior Bowl, a top-rated senior defensive player. To get him 30 is incredible value. And then I like what they did yesterday. You know, they got Tyler Steen, who a lot of guys, the left tackle from Alabama, who – you know, most of the guys you talk to in the league thinks he's going to start next year as a rookie, and he can play four spots. He played guard down here at the Senior Bowl, and then Sidney Brown was maybe my favorite human being we had in Mobile this year, and to get him at 6 overall. I think Howie Roseman's kind of knocked this out of the park. And then, you know, not puzzling. I mean, I don't have all the information that the Detroit Lions have and Brad Holmes have, and I think Brad does an awesome job. But I just think – and they took the football players. I just think they took them at spots where they probably could have got them later. You know, so that's the part of the draft where you really got to understand where the rest of the league has guys and to really maximize value. And I just think, you know, even with the first pick, Jahmyr Gibbs, they probably could have gotten him later in the first or early in the second. Jack Campbell, the linebacker from Iowa, was a good football player, but they probably could have gotten him in the second. But I don't know. Maybe they had information I don't have, but it just seems like they reached a little bit on some of those picks, even though they all were good football players.
Campbell was another guy you invited to the game that he chose not to come for whatever reason. Some of these guys you invite and then the agents kind of take them out, which I think is a mistake, because this is a game you can really enhance your ability to go up the draft board. So tell me about a guy that you're really proud of that came to the game that went way higher than probably last summer you thought he was going to go.
Well, Mike, I will raise my hand on this one. Admit failure in our Senior Bowl process a little bit. It was the Patriots pick last night, Marte Mapu. I think he went 76 to the Patriots.
Yep. I thought you were going to say him, because to me he was one of the great sleepers of this draft.
Yeah. So here's what happened. You know, historically, you know, we've always been able to call up players. We have players get hurt, or like you said, agents pull players. I mean, shoot, we had Devin Witherspoon in this year's game. We had Tyree Wilson in this year's game. And agents get involved and pull players out. So, you know, we'd always go to the Shrine game. It was like, was the next game, and we could get those guys. We can't anymore. The league moved the Shrine game into our week a couple years ago. So now we're pulling all our players from the NFLPA game. And it's funny. I could show you my phone. I got about 80 texts that week from agents. They're like, hey, Jim, I'm here at the PA game. My guy's the best player here. All the NFL scouts are saying I need to get in touch with you and tell them, hey, Nags, this guy belongs in the Senior Bowl. So, but we've done all the work. That's the great part of watching the tape. You shoot him a text back. Hey, we've seen your player. We've got this grade on him. We've got a PFA grade. We've got a late round grade. But with Mapu, I got a text from his agent, and I was like, man, I'm sorry. I have nothing on this player, man. He somehow fell through our – you know, fell through our process here, but like, let me watch him. Let me watch him tonight. And to Dane Vandernat's credit, the guy that runs the Shrine or the PA game, he gave us access to their practice tape, started watching that, and you immediately saw the closing speed and the explosiveness. And then I grabbed the Sacramento State tape, watched that, and I called the agent back the next day. I said, let's get him on a plane. Let's get him to Mobile. And, you know, he showed up here, and he is like, he reminds me of Telvin Smith, the former Jaguars linebacker, a little bit, who played in the high two teens, like 217, 218. This kid's got serious snap in his body for a guy that's only like 220 pounds. So, you know, hybrid, strong safety, wheel linebacker. Really, I mean, again, we got that one wrong. We figured it out in the end. But for him to go in the third round is that's a pretty cool one.
Yeah, it really is. And he kind of fits today's game. I mean, he is one of these linebackers, Femi, that he's 220. He's not an in-the-box safety. He's a linebacker. He can come up and support. There's no formation that he's not going to be on the field for, because you can go to 10, you can go 11. He's staying on the field. He's in 21. You know, even with the lead blocker, he's got, like Jim said, snap in his body, and he's a four-team special teams player. He's going to be on every single special team. He'll put a 1,000 plays. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, he's a little bit like Kyle Duggar, Mike. I don't know if you were.
Oh yeah.
When they picked Doug, but a little bit like Lenore Ryan kid we had a couple of years ago here. So yeah, that's a cool one for a guy from the Big Sky to go up that high.
Yeah, I was watching some of the NFL Network's draft coverage last night, and Daniel Jeremiah said that he was his favorite player in the draft.
Yeah, it's easy to like him. I mean, he's one of those guys you turn on the tape, and it's not hard to like him. It's like he's an easy guy to scout.
Yeah, we're speaking with Jim Nagy, the executive director for the Reese's Senior Bowl here. Jim, I know a guy that you guys had at the Senior Bowl this year didn't quite play because of the injury, but Hendon Hooker, the quarterback out of Tennessee, goes to the Detroit Lions. Do you like the fit there with Hooker now being able to rehab behind an established quarterback there in Jared Goff?
I do. And you know, that was a one-off for us. Like, we've never invited injured players to the Senior Bowl in my 5 years, and don't plan on doing it again. This was really kind of a unique circumstance where the quarterback position really just lends itself to the interview process, right, in the classroom time. So Hendon deserved it, man. He was going to be in New York for the Heisman had he not gotten hurt, and he was one of the faces of college football. So, again, there was some first-round talk there with Hendon. As much as I love him, that seemed a little rich for me. So, I think this is a good spot. You know, I mean, Jared Goff has played well for Detroit. He played really winning football last year down the, you know, second half of the year. His numbers were off the charts. So now Hendon's not going to be rushed on the field. He's in a good situation with a good guy in the room with Jared Goff to learn from. And I think it's a good landing spot. And they get him there in the third, so that's good value for Detroit, getting a guy in the third that was being talked about maybe sneaking into the first. So, yeah, I really like that fit.
You know, I know your phone's ringing off the hook today because of the teams getting ready for the fourth round starting at 9 o'clock here Pacific time, 11 o'clock your time, Jim. But who are some of the guys that you really like to go early in this round?
You know, a guy that sticks out is Adetamua Adebare from Northwestern. And I get it. Like, he's a little bit of a projection player because he played on the edge there at Northwestern. But, you know, we played him at 3 technique down here. I think that's going to be his home, right? So there's just this really small body of evidence, and that's Senior Bowl practice tape. And they moved him inside a little. They reduced him a little bit sometime at Northwestern in some sub packages. But you talk about traits, right? Like, that's the buzzword now. Traits. Everyone, all these teams want to hit on traits. This guy's. He ran 4.49 at 282 pounds, which is absurd. All the other stuff, the shuttle, the three cone, I mean, he did some of that stuff better than most DBs. And he's got 34-inch arms. We saw Kalijah Kansi go in the first round, another undersized defensive tackle. His arms were like right at 31 or right under 31, and this guy's got 34-inch arms. So bit of a projection, but I'm really surprised that he's lasted all the way here to day three. I thought he'd have a really good chance of going in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, some of his traits are reminiscent of an edge player, not even a defensive tackle.
Well, you know what? I think what Jim's saying is really ideally because, look, everybody's in 11 personnel most of the time. Mm-hmm. So your 3 technique's got to be, you know, he's dealing with 1-back runs. It's not like he's dealing with 2-back power. So you could get away with a smaller guy inside a little bit, especially if he's got the quickness to get into the gaps and penetrate. So the game is shifting to – that's why you're seeing some of these smaller defensive tackles.
Jim, we got about sorry about that. You go ahead, Jim.
Safety at the combine this year. He would have been the 5th fastest safety at the combine.
Yeah. Still
Oh, that's crazy at that weight, 282 pounds here. Jim, we got about 30 seconds left. I know your guy Jake Haener, who you talked about last time when you were on the show with us. You love him. Does he hear his name called pretty early here, the quarterback out of Fresno State?
Yeah, I think so. Just like Mike said, just based off phone calls, you know, teams are checking back in on how he was behind the scenes during the week down here with his teammates. So, yeah, I would think he goes off. He's a gamer. And you know, we always see these guys. We see the Kirk Cousins is in the 4th. I mean, you know, there's been a bunch of these guys that go off on day 3 that end up being starters in the league. I mean, Kirk's a prime example. A guy's gone to Pro Bowl, so I'm not saying Jake's going to be that guy. But is Jake a guy that I could see being a starter here in 2 or 3 years down the road? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so, too. Dak Prescott added that group. Yeah. Jim, you do a great job at the Senior Bowl. Appreciate you coming on. We really appreciate it. Have a great one. Enjoy it. Take a break now, my man.
Thank you, guys. I love coming on. Thanks.
Awesome stuff there from Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl executive director. Jake Hanner, he got to start University of Washington.
I know he did. I think he does come off the board here now. I think we'll see O'Connell, too, from Purdue. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the area where they're going to go. Stetson Bennett, where do you think he's going?
Ooh, we'll have that discussion in hour number two, which is coming up next here on the Lombardi Line.